Now, how many of you remember where we left off on our Sunday morning teachings? Can somebody tell me? Where, brother? Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb. What is Mount Horeb called? The Mount of God. All right, now what took place at the mountain? The burning bush. What did the Lord say to Moses? That would be the covenant. That's right. Somebody's been listening. All right, now. I appreciate that, Frank. Now, I'd love to ask one more thing here to kind of get my mind into the lesson as well as yours, so I won't be stumbling around. Now, going back to the days of Abraham, I meant to mention the name of the place where Abraham and the men that fought with him, the place where he pursued to. I said it was to the left of Damascus and was intending to tell you that it was Hobah. I don't know why I didn't. But anyway, it was Hobah at the left of Damascus. And the reason I say that is because when we get to Paul's teachings over there in the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter went down to Damascus and or Paul and him over to Damascus, I'd like for us to be acquainted with it. Now, I just read something, Brother Tom, you recall a few minutes ago about Malachi 4, and it referred us back to what? Yeah, I didn't know you was in here, Al. Yeah, that's right, it referred us back to Mount Horeb. You must know that by. Anyway, that's what it was. It refers back to Mount Horeb. And I told Brother Tom and him, I said, I'm glad that you know, that we read it, because that'll make you know that to understand Malachi 4, you need to understand what we're teaching tonight. So, all right, now then, one scripture line upon line and so forth. Well, over in the teachings of Abraham, he pursued them to over to Hobah, outside of Damascus, to the left of Damascus. And then they would say down to Dan the other night, two places that he pursued them to, Hobah and Dan, and then he returned. All right? Now, last night, we got down to Mount Horeb, not last night, but the last teaching, down to Mount Horeb, and we had come. Now, some of them didn't get it, but I made mention that when they first left Egypt, they went to Succoth. Now, Succoth was before you crossed the Red Sea. And then they went on to Etham, which is the edge of the wilderness, also before you get across the Red Sea. And then they went across the Red Sea, and they got into the wilderness of Shur. And then when they got into the wilderness of Shur, they got thirsty, and they went 3 days' journey, and they come down to Meribah. How many of you got there? All right, the waters was bitter, and the Bible says that down there, that when they got down to Meribah, that the Lord gave Moses a tree, a special tree. I don't know what kind of tree it was, but it was some kind of tree that he cast into the water. And the Bible said it healed the waters. And this was where he said that if you'll walk before me, keep my law and my statutes, that I will heal you, that I'm the Lord that healeth thee. All right, then we find that from there, according to our pilgrimage and journey, they left here at Meribah, and they went on down to Elam. Now, the Bible said Elam was a place with 12 wells and 70 palm trees. Is that right? All right, now he abode at Elam, and then the Bible said when he left Elam, or they left Elam, that they went down to Rephidim. You remember? And I believe I said that this was on the 15th day of the second month that they entered into the wilderness of Sin, or in this area, Rephidim and so forth. Now they left Rephidim, and they went down to the wilderness of Sin. They left the wilderness of Sin, and they went down to Sinai. Now, I believe, if I make no mistake, we got down to Rephidim. Is that right? Long Rephidim, because Mount Horeb is in there. Now, at Rephidim, they chided with Moses about the water. Now, who can tell me, let's see now, did I get something out of kilt there? Yeah, I got something out of kilt. We got the wilderness of sin before we did Rephidim, didn't we? Somebody check me out on that. Something's wrong. Lord, show me something's wrong, huh? Yeah, that's right. I thought that the Lord was checking me on a thing. It was the wilderness of sin and then Rephidim. All right, we went to the wilderness of sin, and I believe it was the second month of the 15th day of the second month. And then we got down to Rephidim. And remember now, between Elim and Sinai was where the wilderness of sin was. Then we got down to Rephidim, and remember, they chided with Moses for water. Now, out in the wilderness of sin, they chided with him for food, and the Lord sent, you remember how he sent quail in, he rained manna down from heaven? We went through it, that it was like a corn to seed, a little hoar frost that was upon the ground, it was white, like a corn to seed, and they gathered it, and the Bible said in the evening, God sent in quail, and in the morning, he sent in this hoar frost on the ground, which was the manna. Now, you can always remember which one he sent in the morning and in the evening, because the Bible said the bread was like hoar frost, and you don't see frost in the evening. So it came in the morning, hoar frost, and it lay upon the ground. It tastes like honey wafers. And the Bible said it was manna from heaven. All right, now, in this, we got over to Rephidim, and then when we got to Rephidim, they chided with Moses, and the Bible said that God said, now, I don't want to get this straight. A lot of people say that God smote Moses because he smote the rock. That's not true. That's just an old saying. A lot of folks say that's what got him. The Lord told him to speak to the rock and he smote it. But that's not true. God told him to smite the rock and that's what he done. Moses done exactly what the Lord told him to do. He walked over. Now, the reason I say that is because we've got so many old sayings that it really gets people in a mess. Did you know it? It really gets people in a mess. Now, I'm going to just drop in a thing or two here that some of you are already acquainted with. But just to drop in a thing or two here, how many of you ever remember where the Bible speaks in the New Testament of binding the unprofitable servant? You remember the scripture over there, bind the unprofitable servant? And you remember over there how that the Bible, Jesus taught him, said, who will serve a servant, a feed a servant, before the servant feeds him, and said, which one of you will say, by and by, when the servant is come in the field, sit down and I'll serve you, and will not rather say, gird yourself and serve me, and then after you've eaten, you gird yourself and serve the servant? He said, well, which one will you do? And then he said, likewise, I say unto you that you've done all that I command you. Then say, Lord, that we're unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. And and people teach that, they take that and they say, now, see, the Bible said, do everything you can do, and then say we're unprofitable. But that wasn't what Jesus said. That's a misquotation and misunderstanding of the Scripture. The Lord Jesus did not say, come to me and say I'm unprofitable after you've done all that you can do. He said, after you've done all that I've commanded you to do, then you come and tell me that you're unprofitable. See? In other words, I say, Brother Al, you go out here by my well. I got a well of water, and it's got the best water in the country, and you go drink all you can drink, and then come and tell me that you're thirsty. In other words, after you do all that Jesus tells you to do, brother, you won't be unprofitable. Because the Bible said if you're unprofitable, he said, bind the unprofitable servant. Now, how could we do all that God has told us to do and then him bind his hand and feet and cast us into outer darkness? Well, that wouldn't be right. So, see, that's a misquotation. Well, another scripture is a number of them, but here's another just come to my mind. Now, they say the Bible said that the way is so plain, a wayfaring fool need not err therein. That's the wrong quotation. That's the wrong understanding. Now, a lot of folks, they say, well, this way is so simple and so plain, anybody can understand it. You try to teach them the mysteries of God, say, oh, ain't nothing to that. Say, well, why? Well, the Bible says it's a plain way, such a plain way a fool can go therein. No, sir, it didn't either. No, the Bible said there is a way, there is a highway, and there is a way. Now, who said I'm the way? I am the way. Now, he said there is a highway, and there is a way. And the Bible said the way shall be called holiness, And the Bible said that the eyes of the vulture has never seen this path. He never seen it. How can a wayfaring fool see it when a vulture ain't never seen it? He ain't ever run across it. Now he said, though a man be a fool, he shall not err therein. Do you understand the difference? Yeah, in other words, and what I'm saying is this. Now a fool may blunder into a bar room. He may blunder into your living room. I've had him to blunder into my kitchen. I had a fellow just was drunk, just blundered through the living room and right on into the kitchen. Right there and walked right up and me eating and me raised up and look at him. And him drunk, standing there, just a stranger. See, but the Bible said he'll never run across this path. So there is a world of difference. We could go on with some more quotations that I heard during my lifetime. And now there is some of them that they quoted as true. Now such things as feeling tolerable, that's Bible. If it's the Lord's will, that's Bible. The Bible says if you're going to go such and such a place and get gain, you better say it's the Lord willing. That's Bible. Those things are Bible. Now when you say by the skin of my teeth, that's Bible. I didn't know teeth had skin, but the Bible said it had skin. So if it says they got skin, they got skin. I ain't never seen it, but they got it somewhere because the Bible says so. So them old sayings is right. I mean, that's the Bible. All right, now then, we said that to try to bring out a point here. Moses smote the rock. The Bible said, Moses, go there, stand by the rock, smite the rock, and I'll bring forth water. Now, and the Bible said that rock that did follow them was Christ Jesus. Now, I brought this out the other night. Remember, that is called the Mount of God. That's why God did this like he did. He gave them food from heaven. He gave them manna from heaven. He rained it down, and then he gave them water to drink. He gave them meat, and he gave them bread, and he gave them water. This was the three essentials of life. He gave them meat, bread, and water. Now, if you notice, that's a natural, physical, and spiritual. Bread comes from the dirt. Meat comes from the physical rim, which is the beast, and water comes from the heaven. All right, you got a natural, physical, and spiritual, Brother Tom, and he used three things. Who can tell me the three things that he used to bring them out of the wilderness with? Can you tell me? He had three things that he used. Now, if some of you is restless and ain't enjoying this, you can go. I feel that spirit. I know you're here. Just go on, please. Now, we ain't had that not one night, and tonight I'm going to ask you to go on. So, lady, she just plumb restless. She can't. You just go on out. If you can't concentrate, you'd be better off because you're going into the service. Everybody else is doing real good. All right, now then, who can tell me about these three things? What was the three things they used? Can you tell me? God used three things. Aaron's rod that budded, he gave them deliverance with that, didn't he? All right, he brought them out with the rod, which was his word. All right, then he sustained them with the manna. Is that right? All right, then he secured them or indoctrinated them and preserved them by what? The law, the word of God. He brought them into the Canaan land. He led them by the word. All right, so he brought them out by the rod. He sustained them by the manna, and he led them by his word. All right, now then, here we see a picture of these three things. And the reason I highlight these three things is because tonight we're going to review. Remember, the first night we started, you didn't get it down on pencil and paper. And we just went into something, and a lot of them missed it that night. And we went back and started in the book of Genesis, and now we've come all the way down. We've got that same part that we'll have to review tonight. So then some of you have already been through this, but you don't have it on paper. And if you want a systematic order with the other, from Genesis on down, it'll give you a chance to put it down. All right, now then, remember Aaron's rod that budded, right, and the manna. And the manna, remember, was put in a little golden pot. And then, of course, the word of God was in stones written by the finger of God. Now, I don't know where those stones are, but I'm sure that those stones are somewhere. And someday, through the means of excavation, they'll uncover those stones if the Catholic Church hadn't already got them somewhere. But remember, I don't know of another stone in the earth that the law of God is written in that stone with his finger, but these stones. He did it twice. Moses broke one of them, and I know the Jehovah Witnesses, they try to say that they got a hold of some of these stones, but they got a hold of the wrong stones according to the revelation of the Lord. Now, so then God actually took his finger, Brother John, and wrote this in those stones. The Bible said it was written with the finger of God. All right, now then, remember these stones was in that covenant, in the ark. Now, I don't know where the ark is. I have no idea where that ark of the covenant is, and I'm sure that nobody else does. But we know that it was with Moses and the children of Israel. We know that they kept it. Where it's at today, we don't know. Now, that ark and that mercy seat and all this, but they through the means of excavation, they have uncovered the place where Samson pulled the temple down. They have done this. They've dug up some of the old scrolls, and they've uncovered the building where Samson stood and pulled the pillars down. Now, the bones of Samson, I don't know whether they found them or not. They were, according to what I understand, it was right there in the building, buried with the building, but they did find the building. They say they know it's the building that he pulled down on the top of the people. And I would say there'd be a lot of bones in there. But anyway, according to the Bible, now we're down here at Mount Horeb, and the Lord said the rock that followed them was Christ Jesus, for he said, I will send mine angel before thy face, and thou shalt not grieve him, and he shall bring thee into the promised land. All right, now, he said not to grieve him. He told him here not to grieve him. All right, now, the same thing is said of the ministry. How many of you know that? The Bible said, thou shalt not grieve the minister. You'll see a tie there that God's trying to show you something. All right, now, he said not to grieve him. He shall go before thee, and he shall bring thee into the desired land, a great land that flows with milk and honey. All right, now, the rock that followed them, Paul said, was Christ Jesus, showing us that we are not off when we speak of symbols, types, and shadows, and allegories. And so, now, remember, it was the Spirit of God that followed them, that great Spirit of God that followed them, and that actually got into that rock. When they needed water, the Spirit just got into the rock. Somebody said, well, can God rain manna down from heaven? Well, the Spirit of God just gets into heaven, Brother Adlin, and rains the manna down. If you want water, God just gets in the rock. If the Spirit of God's with you, he can give you that school over yonder. He can give you anything you want because he's with you. He said, wherever you put your foot, I'll give it to you. And he said, he told Jacob now over at Peniel, when he wrestled with him over there and he prevailed, he said, thou art a prince with God and with man. He said, because thou hast wrestled and prevailed with God. And he said, because of this, he said, I will keep thee in all places whithersoever thou goest. Now, I will keep thee. Now, for many years, I know some of you probably didn't know it, but for many years, I had a little piece right in here, a little red piece that said, I shall keep thee whithersoever thou goest. And I kept it in there. And whether I was in California or Florida or wherever I was at, I said, now, Lord, you said wherever I go, you'd keep me. You'd sustain me. And he stood by. All right, now then, the rock that followed them, Paul said, was the Spirit of God. The Spirit of Christ. It got in the rock and the water came out. How could they lose, whether they were in Egypt, whether they were in the wilderness, or wherever they were at? How in the world can a person lose when God's with him? How can you do it? Now, I know that we're tried all the day long. We're tempted. We have problems. We have misunderstandings. This is to discourage us, to try to tear us down and stop us from carrying on the work of God. That's the best tool that Satan can use. He can cause your body to get sick or cause you to get cast down in spirit and cause you to injure the work of God for a month before you never get straightened out over it. He'll do that. He'll cause you to pout a little bit, cause you to hear the preacher wrong. He's the prince of the powers of the air. The preacher might not speak wrong. He might speak wrong. He might not sound right. He might not act right to you. But really, he might have acted right, and it might have been Satan, the prince of the powers of the air, that got in between you and twisted that thing up and made you see it wrong. And he'll hinder your salvation this way. All right, now, but remember, that Spirit was God. The Bible said, if God be for you, who can be against you? If I be for you, I'll make enemies to be at peace with you. And remember now, when they got over to Rephidim, here, the Bible said at the Mount of God, where God had started this thing off, God gave them water, and Amalek, remember now, Amalek come to fight with them. This is their first war. Now, God had appeared in the mountain of Sin. Here, the Bible said he had appeared when they chided with Moses. It was here along here somewhere, but he appeared to them in the heavens. He actually come up in a cloud, and they saw the big, beautiful brightness of it over away from the camp there. In a beautiful evening light. And he spoke to them there from the cloud and showed them that he was God. And they had the war with Amalek. And remember now, when they had this great war with Amalek, that Moses went up on the mount right up here, and he stood up on the mount, and the Bible said that he called this Jehovah Nissi, For the Lord sware that he would have war with Amalek and his seed forever. In other words, from then on he'd fight. Now, the word forever in the Old Testament is used in a different way that we use it. The Bible said Jonah was in the belly of the whale forever. Well, you know how long forever it was. It was so many days and nights there that he was in the belly of the whale. But the Bible said he was in the belly of the whale forever. So then he swore here that he would have war with Amalek forever and with his seed. Now, I believe that the way, now I'm just saying I believe. I believe the way that they used the word forever meant until termination of whatever the speech was. For instance, Jonah was in the belly of the whale till he got out. I believe that's what he meant. That was the period of forever. Now, he was going to have war with Amalek until he killed them all out. That had finished the thing. That was forever. Now, all right, well, that's what I believe about it. But anyway, we see that Amalek was on the mountain, and Joshua was out here fighting the battle. Moses, he's out there fighting with Amalek. Moses was on the mountain. Now, here, Moses was up here. Joshua was out here fighting with Amalek and using the sword. Moses was not fighting. I made the statement the other night. A lot of people get confused on that. Moses did not work miracles down in the land of Egypt. God got upset at him, got angry at him because he kept chiding with God and kept telling God to send somebody else till God got angry at him. And God, he did not work the miracles down in Egypt. The Bible said that Aaron worked those miracles. And so then he said, Moses, thou art a god unto Aaron, and Aaron's thy prophet. And Joshua is the one that's doing the fighting. Moses did not do the fighting. Joshua did the fighting. Now, here we see Joshua out here fighting, and the Bible said he was Moses' minister. And here Amalek comes out against them, and they win the battle against Amalek. While Moses' hands was up, Joshua prevailed. When he took his hands down, Amalek prevailed. And two of the great men of God came up and stood beside him and lifted his arms up and held his arms up until Joshua won the battle. Now we hear him sing the song, Joshua with the battle of Jericho and so forth. And Joshua really was the warrior. This Moses, if you want to make a comparison, I don't really want to get into those things because it might prove to be misleading if I don't have time to explain what I'm trying to say. But Moses, if you want to make a comparison, pick up Columbus back over there. And Joshua, if you want to make a comparison, pick up George Washington over there. You know this community is burning out here, Mount Vernon. How many of you know that out here? It's Mount Vernon. Well, pick up George Washington and you'll find a parallel here with Joshua. All right, now then, they had a battle here, and according to the Bible, they won the battle. And then they went into the wilderness of sin. They went into the wilderness of sin. And when they entered into the wilderness, or not the wilderness of sin, of Sinai. And when they got into the wilderness of Sinai, then the Lord come up on Mount Sinai. Can you give us Mount Sinai, brother? He come up on Mount Sinai. Now, this was where things really begin to turn right here. This is the turning point of the life of the children of Israel. And whether you believe it or not, the worst thing that ever happened to the children of Israel was when they got the law. Now, I know you might not understand that, but that is. Now, I'm not saying the worst thing was the law. The law was a holy thing, a just thing. But the worst thing for the flesh is for you to come in contact with the Word and not be sincere. That's the worst thing you could ever do. And so then they came in contact with the Word of God. And the Bible said that here the Lord sought to prove the children of Israel. Now, he could have given them a whole freezer full of food, but he made them walk day by day that he might get rid of all of the things that were around them and cause them not to trust in their salaries, not to trust in their homes, not to trust in their husbands, their wives, their families, or friends, or anything like that, their intellect, or their ability, their strength, or their health, or anything, that he might come down and be their everything. That's what he wanted to be. God's my everything, the song says. And so that he wanted to come down and be their everything. And according to the Bible, God walked with them just like he's walking with us today. Remember, all of these things are a symbol of what you're doing. That's right. If God was with them, then Brother Tommy, he's also with us today. All right, now that if you'll notice here, Joshua won the victory. And then they journeyed on, and into the wilderness of Sinai they went. Now, when they got into the wilderness of Sinai, here on the top of the mountain, God came down. And the Bible said that the trumpet sounded long. God said, Moses, sanctify yourself and sanctify the people 2 days and tell them not to come near their wives. And on the third day, he said, I will appear and I'll talk with you. And so then he said, set a bound around about the mountain and let no man come near this mountain. Don't let anybody touch this mountain. He said, if anything touches this mountain so much as a hair, it'll die. Now, remember Paul in his teaching, he refers back to this mountain. Paul refers back and said, we are not come unto this mount here that was a mount of terror. He said, but we've come unto the mount of the living God. And here he speaks of this, he said, for in that day whatever touched the mountain died. Which indicates that God is a consuming fire, a holy mount, a tabernacle of glory and righteousness. And whoever reproaches God, then, or makes a comparison of themselves to God, dies, because God will not give another one his glory. This Bible. Now, how many of you remember the Bible said that when that great orator got up over there in the New Testament and made a speech, the Bible said that God smote him with worms because he gave not God the glory. Now, I say this as a warning to some of you. I've talked with some of you, and some of you have used the attitude that you already know or you're learning outside of getting it from the Word of God, and because of this, God will get you, because that's taking the glory of God. See, you do not know. God knows, and God's revealing it to me, to you, and all of us as we journey. And if we trust in our ability, if we trust in our skill, if we trust in our intellect, then we are whorish on God, and God will require it. All right, now here on Mount Sinai, the Bible, a lot of folks say, well, why could Moses go up there in the mount? Why was God respect a person? They said, well, God must have been respect a person. Why couldn't the rest of them go up there? No, sir, he wasn't that at all. Just like Brother Branham, somebody said, well, why would he choose Brother Branham? He just respect a person. No, sir, that's not right. The Bible said that Moses was the meekest man in all the land. That's why he could go up there. God gives more grace to the humble. He was meek. Look at your New Testament teachings, and you'll find out when that woman come over there and fell down at his feet and said, Lord, I'm not worthy. The Bible said he poured out his love to her. And the Bible teaches when the woman come with the issue of blood, humble, just trying to touch his garment, God poured out his love to her. The Bible said when the man come over there and said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, God poured out his love. See, in other words, it was always God pouring out his love. I resent that spirit that's trying to come against me tonight. I rebuke it in the name of the Lord. I want you to bow your heads on it right now. Father, Lord of heaven, tonight I ask right now, dear Father, that you move this spirit, Lord, of suspicion, God. I don't like that thing in my midst, Lord, and so many times it aggravates me in trying to teach. And I pray right now, Lord, that you'll put that thing out of here, Lord. My heart is pure and clean, and I'm trying my best to do what's right. And I ask in Jesus' name, Lord, that you lift up a standard against it right now, in Jesus' name. All right, now, over here at Mount Sinai, the Bible said he was the meekest man in all the land. That's why that he was able to come into the presence of God. This is why that Brother Branham could go into the presence of God. When Brother Branham was out in the wilderness out yonder, and I wish we had time to go through it and make the comparison for the revelation's sake, but we don't have it tonight if we go through with this other. But when Brother Branham went up on the mountain, you'll find something there out in Tucson, Arizona, if you'll check that thing out. All right, now then, here is Mount Sinai, and Moses went up here, and the Bible said on the third day the trumpet sounded long. It just kept sounding, and it scared the people. It just kept sounding. It just wouldn't let up. And the Bible said the mountain began to blaze with fire and smoke and began to tremble, began to shake like a volcano erupting. And then the Bible said dark clouds come down over it, and smoke and lightnings and thunders begin to go across it. And a lot of folks say, well, it wasn't nothing, Brother Pike, except a volcano just erupting, and those poor primitive people back there just didn't understand it. I'll tell you, you never read in history where a mountain ever erupted in a volcano act where there was lightning and thunder. You never heard of that. The Bible said on this mountain it lightning and it thundered, and the darkness was horrible. And here on this mountain, the Bible said only Moses could enter into that rim up there in that mountain. And so then God said, Moses, come up here. And the Bible said that God spoke from this mountain. He actually spoke from heaven. He tells them in the Word, if you'll check it here, he said, "Now I have spoke to you from heaven." God himself gave forth, Brother Tommy, a thunderous voice and a vocal utterance here. I don't know how he did it, but he did it without the use of human instrumentality and brought forth the Lord right there on that mountain. A lot of people say that Moses saw God when he was up there, but the Bible said that when he went before the Lord, that the Lord placed him in a cleft of a rock, placed his hands over him, and let him see the hind part, and declared unto him the Lord God. That's what the Bible said that he saw. Declared unto him the Lord God. Now, you couldn't see a spirit. There'd be no way you could see a spirit. God said no man could see me and live. You couldn't do that. You couldn't see a spirit. In the first place, you don't see spirits with your natural eye. You've got to have some kind of manifestation. If we could see spirits with our natural eye without God doing something, we just look around here and the whole room would be full of angels. Because Bible, according to the Bible, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that love him. And so then, we know then now, when I say angels in the plural, I'm speaking to you of the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that love him. The angel, individually, the angel of the Lord, the same one that led him here, or in the same fashion, the angel of the Lord. Now, if I say the angel of Tommy encamped round about him, who would I be talking about? The angel of the Lord. They said it's Peter's angel. The angel of the Lord. All right, now then, here we see right here that God actually spoke from Mount Sinai, and this thing thundered. It rolled. It was no different from any other mountain, but God used it as a symbol. And that thing rumbled and rolled. And here, anything that even got close to it, the Bible said here, said it was smitten. All right, the Lord spoke. Now remember, God took Moses into that mountain, and Moses had made a stone, and it hewed out the stone, and he brought the stone to God, and God just took, and with his finger, he wrote the laws. Now, if you want to find the laws, you look over in Exodus, over in the 20th chapter of Exodus. If you'd like to put them down, we'll give them to you here in order if you'd like to know what they are. And I know a lot of folks use them, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, but really that wasn't the way he spoke to him. There was some thou shalt nots in it, but it wasn't the way he spoke to him. Now, here's the way he spoke to him. He said, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Now notice that. The wrath of God upon them that hate me, the iniquity of God against their seed and their heritage that hate him, against their posterity. Then he said, "In showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Notice there, love extended to our seed that love him. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, "Speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die." All right, now that was in general what he outlined. But remember, that was only a fraction of what the Lord commanded the children of Israel. That was just a fraction, because all the way over to the book of Leviticus, you find him still giving commandment all the way over there to the book of Leviticus, and then some on in the book of Leviticus. So So that was just to give you some idea of those things wherein God commanded them in the children, to the children. I tell you, you know, we ought to be grateful to God. We ought to be so thankful to the Lord Jesus that when we come into the sanctuary, rather than coming in with the wrong spirit, we ought to fall down on our face before the altar and ask God to give us, just to give us a heart to be thankful for what He's done for us. These people had so many things in here to do, I don't see how they ever remembered them. I even said when I was trying my best to understand, I said, God, I don't even see how they remembered them, let alone done them. I said, I don't even see how Moses remembered. He must have had a superhuman mind to even be able to remember them. Of course, I know this much. I know that one of them over there took these things down. The Bible said, Abihu, I believe it was, wrote these things down over there as they come forth, the measurements on the temple and so forth. But anyway, I want you to notice now, here are the judgments of the Lord. Now, I'm just going to drop this in to where you can think on it for whatever it might be worth to you. Remember, in the Old Testament teachings, all the way down from the time of the plagues on down, you'll find that this is a parallel of the book of Revelation, where God is on the mercy seat and off of the mercy seat. It shows when He's on the mercy seat and shows when He's off of the mercy seat, and it shows what's going on today as to when the judgments of God hits and when the judgments of God don't hit. Now, it shows it in types and Revelation, if you can understand it. All right, now, I can't give that to you. God has to revelate it to you. There's no way that you can give that to anybody unless you're teaching in Revelation, and He shows it through your teaching. But now, if you'll notice here on the mountain this thing came forth, the thunderings and the lightnings and so forth, and a lot of folks say, well, what was in the thunders when John heard the thunders? All right, here's a good place to find out. Everything that God did was, it was in the Old Testament. Now, I know, Brother Tom, Brother Branham didn't preach. I know he didn't preach the thunders. I realize the number of things he didn't preach. But now the thing is, here, the thunders right here, remember when these thunders started to roll, there was something that come out of those thunders. There was something that come out of it. And here you're getting an idea of the symbol of what those thunders released right there. Now, notice that trumpet sounded. When the trumpet sounded as rule, it meant war. All right, now here the lightning and the thunderings is up here. Now, I'm just going to try to drop in just a little bit of revelation here to give a tie that let you might know that I'm not making something up. In any case, when we get over there, maybe we can go into some of it and make reference back to it. But now, over in the New Testament, what did it say in the book of Revelation concerning the Ark of the Testament when it was open? How many remember where the Bible said, and the Ark of His Testament was open? You remember that? What did the Bible say went on inside there? Lightnings and thunders. All right, now then, how many of you agree that right here is where the Ark of the Testament is open? How many of you agree that God is bringing forth the Ark of His Testament, or the Testament that He's going to put in the Ark over there? How many of you agree that this is it? All right, now the Old Testament, which is His testimony, His testimony with His own writing here that goes into the Ark. So you can see here the symbols of it. And also in the lightning and in the thunderings here, if you look at it real good, you can see that Mount Calvary, Jesus, prophet likened to Moses, on Mount Calvary, here when everything turned dark on the mountain, remember, at Calvary, it was Moses going up into the presence of God. The temple rent in twain, the veil rent in your physical rims here. Old Testament, New Testament, and Revelation, all three books. All right, now I say this just to tie this in here as we go along just a little bit. Mexico, the United States, and Canada, just those three, Old Testament, New Testament, and the book of Revelation, if you want to let your mind dwell on those things as we go along. All right, now look at here, right here, what's taking place. God took Moses into here, and the Bible said, remember now, 40 days and 40 nights. He stayed in there, and he stayed in there so long getting the revelation of that day and that hour that the people went to Aaron and said, Aaron, we don't know what's happened to this man. Now remember, every time things got into a tight, every time some little something began to happen, they jumped on Moses. Every time they did it. And Moses said, I'm not in God's stead. I can't help it. Well, they jumped on Moses. They blamed Moses with it. Well, when they got out of water, they blamed Moses with it. They said, look, now I just want to show you a few examples. They got to the Red Sea and they couldn't get across the Red Sea. They said, what are you trying to do with us? Said, wasn't no grave down in Egypt, so you brought us out here to die in the wilderness. All right, God delivered them. Moses said, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. All he could do was speak by faith. He didn't know what God was going to do to the to the Red Sea. God said, why stand still? Go forward. Stretch out your rod. Smite the sea. It'll open up. All right, now then, I believe that we have to step forth, Brother Zale, when we meet opposition and smite the opposition with the Word of God and go forward. I believe God will get it out of the way. All right, now, here we find that they come over there to the Red Sea. They murmured against Moses. All right, they got over here a little further, and they got down there in the wilderness of Sin, and when they didn't have any food, they chided with Moses again. Said, you took us away from the flesh pots of Egypt. When we was down there, we had food. Said, you brought us out here. Said, at least we could have died with a full stomach. All right, God give them food. All right, well, it wasn't long. They got to chiding. He went over here, over to Rephidim and got over there somewhere along in there where they had to have water to Mount Horeb, and they chided with him again. They said, you done brought all these people out here in the wilderness so they die of thirst. He chided with him again. God, Moses said, God, what am I going to do? He said, they're ready to stone me to death. He said, the folks are just about ready to stone me. Well, then the Lord had mercy and he led his people. But remember, folks, God did all of this, and Paul said every bit of this happened for our admonition. That we are to be admonished by this that took place over there, that we are to acknowledge it. He said, foreseeing that God brought them out of Egypt, which is out of the world, out of the flesh. He brought them out of Egypt, but he was not well pleased with them because they turned back into their intellect. They went back into their human reasoning. They did not trust in faith, but they went back into the human reasoning. Now you say, Brother Pike, can you prove that? Look, if I have already seen God drown an army in a Red Sea, if I've already seen God do the things that he's done to Egypt, how in the world could a person even... Why, I'd be afraid to even hardly think concerning God if I'd been there when all them things take place. I'm way over here in the New Testament teachings, and I never even saw those things, and I believe them. I believe them so much, never having even seen them, that I shake and tremble to think about even trespassing against a God like that. But here they was, they saw these things. And then after seeing all these things in their human intellect, they said, who's going to give us water out here in the wilderness? Where's any water? Where are you brought out here to die in the wilderness? Now, somebody said, well, praise God, I wouldn't be like that. Some of you have been worse than that. Every time we've had an up and down, every time something went wrong, somebody said, aha, I had a dream. Aha, somebody prophesied it's going to be like that. Aha, it'll fold up. Aha, I told you, didn't it? Y'all not following them. I told you ought to stay over yonder in Egypt. Aha. It's been the same old grind, fussing, mumbling, grumbling. But nevertheless, now see, it happened for our admonition because we are not following Brother Taylor. We're not following Brother Pye. We're not following Brother Zale, Brother Al, these brethren. We're following God. We're following God. We're following God. In other words, we're going with God. Now, why are we out here tonight, folks, together? Did we come to hear Brother Pike teach? I come here tonight to listen to the voice of God, to fellowship, and see if I could get anything out of this and see if God would help me. I trust that you came for the same reason. All right, now then, here we are. Look, here at the mountain, the Bible said that Aaron had done gone down there. The people had got to mumbling. They said, where is this Moses? We don't know nothing about him. He's done gone. Brought us out here in the wilderness, and he done run. Somebody said, he's done run off and left us. And here he is, way up here on the mountain. The boy hadn't eaten a fight in 40 days. Been up there 40 days. Hadn't eaten a thing. Now, that's bad enough, but he hadn't drank anything. Hadn't had no water in 40 days. Been up here on the mountain. All right, now, in the presence of God, here Moses was up there getting the ordinance and the commandment of the Lord. Now, somebody, when they fast 40 days, they think they've done something. Somebody said, glory to God, I'm a Moses. I'll tell you right now, you do without water 40 days. And then come down off the mountain, go back for another 40 days. And then come back, after you get back up on the mountain, go back, stand up there without water for 80 long days without water and 80 long days without food. And then come down, and then you feel like Moses. That's why his face shined. All right, now here he is up here. He comes back down, and he's up here. No doubt he's thanking God. He's just praising God and saying, hallelujah, glory to God. I got something to help Israel now. I'm going to get them out of this wilderness. Don't get them to the Canaan land. I done got them out of bondage down yonder. They're going to be happy, and we're just going to have a jubilee. And he comes back down there, and here him and Joshua start down the mountain. And when they start down the mountain, the Bible said that Joshua said, I hear noise down in the camp. Said, but it's not a shout of mastery, he said. He said, it's not somebody that's got a victory over war. Said it's not. He said, it, at first he said it was a cry of war, but he said it's not a shout of a mastery. He said, but it's people that dance. He said, I hear the shout of dancing and all this noise of dancing. They must have been dancing around like, you know, like some folks do. And here they were, dancing and having they were having a hoopie of a time. Now, it's bad enough to go off to a dance over there with some ragtime music that somebody's beating an old tin can or something, a tub. That's bad enough to go over and wreck your mind and body and life like that. But when you start getting down there dancing over gold and silver, that really is bad. And they done got down there and got religious and started to dancing. And they done started to dancing over the gold and the silver, or we'll say over the offerings. Now you say, Brother Pike, why do you say over the offerings? Because this was an offering they gave to Aaron. He took what they gave to him as an offering, and that offering turned into a golden calf. Now, Moses come down there, and he was mad. Somebody said, bless God, why come you don't come up in the morning and talk sweet to us? The Bible said he was angry. Said he waxed hot. Said his anger got hot. Now, the Bible said God's anger got hot, too. Said it waxed hot. Now, he didn't just get upset a little bit, but the Bible said that his anger waxed hot. He went down to somebody and said, oh, well, now just wait just a minute and just let's see how hot it did wax. Somebody said, well, I guess he really scolded the people. Yes, he sure did. You just wait and see what he done to them. You'll find out you got plenty of mercy in the day we're living in when the preacher gets upset. The Bible said that his anger waxed hot against them. When he come down there, he saw this, and him and Joshua looked on this thing and saw it, and Moses went over here and he said, Aaron, what in the world are you doing? And Aaron said, I didn't know what to do with them. You know, they're going to stone him just like they're going to stone Moses. Now, so that's what I believe. I believe it would have stoned him too, because they wanted some answer. He was one of them that took him out there. Him and Moses was the one that done it. No doubt they said, Aaron, he's done run off and left us. You better do something and do something quick. And Aaron done something. That's just exactly what the preachers are doing today. They said, bless God, you do something. Now, you done got us out here and you told us to come out of the Baptist and the Methodist, and you got us out here under a big tent. Now, you do something. So he hollers, ah, and he does something. That's all he knows to do. Somebody said, you're mocking. That's exactly what Elijah did. He mocked. He's mocking. All right, now, what was it? He come down here. He got down there, and Moses said, what in the world are you doing? Now, I want you to listen to the testimony of Aaron. Now, this is just the way some folks are when you go to reprove them about sin. He said, Moses, I didn't do a thing except that they gave me the errands, and they gave me the gold, and I threw it in the fire and said, this thing come out. Now, that's what he told Moses. He said, I threw it in the fire and said, here come the scamp out of there. You say, Brother Pike, did you read in the Bible? No wonder Moses was mad. He got upset. All right, the Bible said he slammed the stones down. He broke the stones as a symbol to show what had happened. All right, now, I want you to see this, folks. He was really upset about that thing. He was really upset. He told them, he said, who's with me? The Bible said his anger waxed hot and it didn't get cooled off very easy. He said, who's with me? And the Bible said the Levite stood with him. He said, take your sword out. That's how hot it got. He said, take your blade out of your shield. They took it out of the scabbard and they stood there with it. He said, I want every man, said, I want you men to go through here and I want you to kill your companion. Now, what if he told you to kill your wife? Now, it wasn't like it was in the days of Abraham where the angel caught the knife. He said, go through there and kill your companion. Whether it be a male companion, it didn't make no difference what kind of companion. He said, kill him. Kill the companion, said every man kill his brother, every man kill his neighbor. The Bible said that his anger wasn't pacified till 3,000 people lay dead. And boy, that's pretty upset for a preacher, ain't it? I thought it was kind of bad when he killed one fella down in Egypt down there. Somebody said, why did God go down there and get a murderer? Somebody that would kill a man down in Egypt. He know just the type fella he needed. When he got ready to do what he wanted to do, he done it. 3,000 people. Before he got over that thing, now down in Egypt, he just got upset and killed one man. But over here, before he got simmered down, the Bible said his anger waxed hot. 3,000 people was killed. Somebody said, well, God told him to do it. Tell me where he told him to do it. Read. I tell you what, you take the Old Testament and read and tell me where God told him to kill 3,000 people. Now see, in other words, now I know that God did it. The Bible said the preparation of a man's heart is from God. But the Bible teaches Moses was mad. Don't you think he was kind of upset? 3,000 people. He was pretty upset. 3,000 people he killed. He had took 600,000 men out there in the wilderness. Now, 3,000 wouldn't hardly be nothing in comparison to what he had. But I'll tell you what, when he got through with killing 3,000 people, both people, when he got up to preach a sermon, everybody listened. That's right. You check it out after that. Before this, they murmured and they complained and they chided. But brother, after this, when he preached the sermon, everybody paid attention. It reminded me of that fellow I heard about it the other day. Say it actually happened over in Kentucky. Said that he got up there and he preached. He couldn't get nobody to listen, nobody to come to the altar. So about the last night of the revival, he took him a gun. He laid it right up there, laid a pistol up there. And he said he's kind of a rugged fellow anyway. He laid it up there and said, now, ladies and gentlemen, said, when I give altar call, I want everybody to come to the altar. He said, the altar's filled up. So, now, they say it really happened over in Kentucky. All right, now, look, see here? Now, here we are. Now, Moses is hollering and going on with the people, no doubt, just like the rest of them. And the Bible said Moses is angry. 3,000 people were killed. Now, people say, Brother Pike, you sure do preach hard. I tell you, like Atlas said he was a rookie. I'm just a beginner. Yeah, and he stood right here. 3,000 people was dead, and finally, no doubt Moses probably got to thinking about it, and he thought, my, I didn't kill 3,000 people here. All right, then the Bible said he turned and he went back up into the mountain. Now, I tell you, I ain't joking. It's hard for me to understand how a feller 40 days in a fast without water can kill 3,000 people. If he can do that four on a 40-day fast, there's no telling what he could do if you got him upset when he wasn't. Supposed to be the meekest feller in all the land, too. Now, Joshua took his sword and went out here and killed the Amalekites, but Moses didn't. He slayed the Christians. Now, I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying or not, but there's something spiritual here, folks. There's something spiritual here. God's got a sword, Brother Tom, out there. He got a sword. God told David, said, you can't be on my house, said, you got too much blood on your hand. He fought out there. But you look at the commandment that David gave Solomon and see where Solomon's sword was used. He told one of them, said, don't let that fellow's head remain on his shoulder. Don't let his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. And he listened to it. Somebody said, well, them show us gentlemen. The Bible said Samuel stuck over there. He took a sword and hewed Agag all to pieces. Cut him out just like he cut up ribbons. That's the kind of folks he was. Samson went down there and killed 1,000 men just like that. David, a man after God's own heart, just run through a troop. Now, you say, well, Brother Parton, why are you saying all these things? Well, what I'm trying to say, folks, is because we all try to be meek and humble, that's no proof of being meek. See, we are actually going to kill people. There's going to come a time when the saints of God are going to slay people and their blood's going to run up the horse's bridle. It's going to be a battle of Armageddon to where they're going to kill. There ain't but one way that you can deal with beasts, and that's kill them. But we're holding our peace right now. We have to hold our peace right now. We've got to do that right now. See, but God knows there ain't no way to deal with them people out there except slay them. That's why he's got officers with guns on their hips walking around out there. He knows how to deal with them. That's why he dealt with them here. Now, you say that them people wouldn't even harm a fly. But you just wait and see. I'll tell you what, that same man that'll stand here and hug your neck and kiss you and let you slap him in the face and spit on him and he wouldn't lift a word against you and melt on the inside, when God says kill, he'll take a sword and he'll run it through you and he won't think nothing about it. You just watch and see. All right, just like we got a boy over here in Atlanta, you probably don't know him, Brother Johnny, one of the sweetest fellows I ever met. Fellow got him cornered and he run a sword through him. Killed him. He's a great Bible teacher. All right, now look, here Aaron, he's got Moses upset here, and I guess Joshua just got out of the way. I figured that's probably all he knew to do. But anyway, he got upset here, and when he did, he killed 3,000 people. I wonder, brother and sister, I wonder how many people Brother Branham killed. I wonder how many. Because I know he was temperamental. He would have shot some with a gun over there if God hadn't stopped him. He tried to kill him. But I mean, with his message and the sword of the Spirit, I wondered how many people died. I know that on one occasion, he spoke to some people, or a man, he became paralyzed in his audience just because he felt the wrong spirit. And he became paralyzed. Brother Branham said on tape that he's still paralyzed now. Spoke to him in the name of the Lord. Now, in the New Testament, when Paul spoke to him, they went blind. A lot of things happened over there. Peter spoke to him, they buried him. See, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's how God is. In other words, that's how God, he's not playing. And he said, but Brother Pike, what about all of this mercy God's give us? We better wake up. I'll tell you this in the name of the Lord. We got some people in our midst. If the wrath of God don't hit them, I'm a false prophet. It ain't a word of truth. It's going to hit them. I've done seen it. It's going to hit them. And I've warned them, and I've warned them, and I've warned them. And they are still, some of them's already been seen in dreams just recently, backbiting. I've warned them and warned them and warned them. And I told them and told them, and it's still just like this. They're just, in other words, they're double-minded and unstable in the sense that they don't know where they want to go. They don't know what they want to do. They don't know who. They won't take reproof. They won't take instruction. They ain't going to listen to nobody reprove them because it's self-will. That's where we're living. All right, the wrath of God's on them. Moses' anger waxed hot against them. 3,000 people was killed. 3,000. Now, somebody said, well, wasn't God on the mercy seat? What do you think? Was God on the mercy seat? Remember what we made a comparison with up here this judgment? See, was God on the mercy seat? What was he doing? That's what I'm trying to tell you. But now notice, God, when we was over there in Egypt, I told you though about those Negroes. I said, now the Negroes say, glory to God, glory to God, he's with us. He's going to kill these white folks. But you see what's happening out here to the Negro, if that's the pattern, don't you? 3,000 of them at one time. Who did it? The white folks? No, sir. So you see whether God's pleased with it or not. Now see, 3,000 people right here, and this is just the beginning of it here. And yet 3,000 right here. All right, now then, it wasn't long after this. We'll get around to it. I'm going to try to... Will you give me a little bit longer? Just a little bit longer. I don't mean to get hung up here on something, but I'm trying to bring out something, Brother Tom. Here on the, it isn't long after this, brethren, before Nadab, Abihu, and Ithamar, and the other son of Aaron, I can't think of his name right off, but anyway, the four sons that you've heard me name here in my teaching, the four sons of Aaron, you remember how that God anointed them to work in the tabernacle? And two of them just wanted to play around with strange fire. Are you listening to me now? You know, how many of you know what strange fire is? Two of them just wouldn't. They just had to mess around, that's all. Now, when you mess around with a strange spirit, you better watch out. Strange fire. The Lord told Nadab and Abihu, said, don't do it. They went right in there, and there was Aaron's sons, and they walked in there, and he killed them that quick. I mean, he killed them that quick, and not only killed them, but he turned around and told Aaron and the other two sons, he told them over there, he said, don't weep, don't do nothing. Just don't do nothing. In other words, they're dead, I've killed them, leave them alone. That's what he'll do, folks. That's God. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, God don't do that. God does do that. The Bible said, beware ye that forget God, lest I tear you into pieces. He does do that, too. See, as long as the plagues was on Egypt over here, this is what I'm trying to tell you, brethren. As long as it was on Egypt, there was grace on Israel. But now, when God got through with Egypt over here, what happened to Israel? Now, if God has been dealing with the world and the wrath has been on the world out there, when he gets through with the world and turns back to the Jew, and if we are spiritual Jew and we parallel with the Jew, what's going to happen to us? Where did he say judgment's going to begin at? You see where we're living? Something's going to happen. Remember the days of Peter, as long as God was dealing with the Gentiles? But when he turned over there and got into the church. Now remember, God was dealing over here with the Gentiles. Wrath was coming on them. But the Bible said when he turned around to the church, look what happened over there when Peter said, why did you lie to the Holy Ghost? You see what I mean? It's a time to get shook up, folks. All right, now then, here we are. Moses, down here, his anger waxing hot. Your anger waxing hot here against the people. And then after this, his wrath is pacified. He goes back up to the camp up here. And the Lord gives him another table of stone. The same message. Somebody said, well, there'll be another message. Well, he didn't give Moses another one. The second go-around, it was the same message he gave him the first time. So then, somebody said, well, after they saw down here that the people couldn't abide by it and kill 3,000 people, he'll be more merciful. He gave them the same message. Same one. The rest of them had to abide by it. All right, now he had the same message. All right, now then, after this, the Bible said God said this is a stiff-necked people. Somebody said, well, look to me like God would have got all over Moses. No, sirree. No, sirree. He said, Moses said this is a stiff-necked people. Moses said, I agree with you. That's what they are. All right, but Moses still loved him, and God still loved him. All right, now then, he told him, Moses, I'm not going to go with you in the camp, so I'm not going to stay with you in the camp. Now look, folks, we can drive God out of the church. Did you know that? He said, I'm not going to forsake you, Moses. He said, but I ain't going to stay in the camp no longer. Now I want him in the camp. Amen. I want him in the camp. Amen. But he didn't. They said, I ain't staying with you in the camp no more. So they moved it way out here by itself. God said, I'll go with you. I'll just kind of trail along, or I'll go along. But said, I ain't. And Moses went out here, and Joshua went into the end of the tabernacle, got down on their face before God. And Moses' face was a glory, you remember. He had to put a veil over it. And we ain't got time to go into the revelation on those things. Some of you know them anyway. But anyway, here, remember, his face was a glow, and the people were scared. I mean, they were really getting afraid now. They done seen that God meant business about this thing. And Moses said, thou shalt do this. They said, amen. Now, you do this, amen. And whatever he said, they said, yes, we'll do it. All right, now they've done learned that they can't do wrong. Just one boy come out over there, according to the Bible, right shortly after this, one boy come out of the camp over there and cursed God. And God said, take him and stone him. He killed him. Took him right out and stoned him. He said, well, nobody wouldn't curse God in our day. I can take you to a man right down here in Macon, Georgia. He told me his own lips he cursed God. So he got upset at God and cursed him. That's right. You wouldn't think folks would do it. Fine-looking man. I mean, a nice-looking young feller. Cursed him. And you'd be surprised what he got upset with him about. He wanted a wife, and God didn't give him a wife on time, and he got mad and cursed him. But he wouldn't give him a wife. And a fine-looking feller could have went out and got a dozen wives. All right, now then, do you see what I'm saying here? Moses' face glowed, he was in the veil. The Lord had to stay here behind him, and I'm going to have to close out here in just a few minutes because I was going to cover a lot more ground here, but I ain't going to be able to because we're taking so long on this. We'll get some more of it a little later. But anyway, there's so much that takes place here at Mount Sinai. All right, now you can see here that these things are taking place. And what I quoted to you in the Bible was just a few things that happened, folks. Now, God gave so many, many, many things from here, from this mountain right here, outside of what I quoted from these stones. All right. Now, we find that 3,000 have been killed. He goes back. He comes back with the message. He comes back with the message. Now, you can understand how God would stand with Moses. Doing without food 80 days. Doing without water 80 days. He knows that Moses loves the people. And here God, on one occasion, God said, Moses, get out of the way. He said, they're just the people I can't deal with. That they're stubborn, rebellious. He said, I can't do that. I said, just get out of the way. He said, I'll kill them. And said, I'll make a great nation out of you. Just you by yourself. Now somebody said, now God wouldn't do that. Did he do it in the days of Noah? Did he? I'm persuaded to believe, and I may be wrong, but I'm persuaded to believe he wouldn't even have spared Noah's wife, nor children, nor any of them, but Noah, if it hadn't been for his love for Noah. I believe he done the same thing for Lot. I believe he brought them people out of there just because he loved Lot. All right, now that one man, see, showing Christ Jesus all the way down, and his family showing the church, God saving the church for the husband's sake. All the way down, that's the reason I thank God for grace. It ain't nothing that we do, folks. It's what God's doing for us. All right, now, so we see here, 3,000 killed. He goes back up. He gets the message. He comes back down. And now they're ready to listen. Now, I'm going to stop right along here on the second go-around. They're ready to listen now. And God is fixing to start into a new phase of his work here. Now, I'm going to stop here. We got the board full anyway. And I'm going to just hold up right here where he comes back to the people. With the last covenant. I appreciate you listening.